Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fourth...
Let's say yes.
Episode of the Jaren's Outpost development vlog. We decided today to finally give you some gameplay footage. So what we've done... I'm Jackson.
I was wondering, I was like, do we not introduce ourselves?
I'm getting it out of the way.
I'm waiting for Jackson to maybe introduce us.
Okay, I'm with Joel Samet and Adam Carnivale.
I didn't like that.
I have a sealed can. Control. Am I not allowed?
Yeah,
open it. All right. I'm going to try and do it away from the mic as much as I can.
Do it into the mic.
Why? Now you just brought attention to it. It's good
so
now.
Do it into the mic?
Yeah. Well, do whatever you like. Oh, that's good. Couple of brewskis. So what we decided to do is we played a game of Jaren's Outpost, of our board game, and we filmed it, and now basically we're going to provide a commentary over our gameplay to talk you through the decisions we made, you know, and basically how the game works. If you are listening to this as only audio,
very confusing.
I powerfully encourage you to head to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Because what's the handle on that channel? What would you type in?
It's just Sans Pants Radio.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, so the way this is set up is you have Jaren's Outpost, or the Jaren's Trading Post is in the dead center of the board game, and then all the locations are randomly generated, dealt out in the 5x5 grid. So you kind of start out by putting Jaren's Trading Post in the center, and then you sort of build the town from there.
Yeah.
And then what you will have is you'll have the NPCs and the items. And so every location except the trading post and the two taverns that we have will have one item, one NPC. And then over in the, the trading post and the tavern board, you then put four NPCs, four items, and then you have the item deck and NPC deck.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how you start the game.
Yeah. Yep. You can see on the opposite side of the tavern and trading post sort of board, we have the quest board. So that's where you place quests equal to the number of players plus one, which we've done. And next, that is also the day counter to count down the 7 days that you're going to be playing through. Below that, we have the first player token, which is that lovely little token with one on it and a dragon on it.
And then prestige board,
exactly, above that. We decided to play as I'm down in the corner there. You can see my arms and my Casio watch and my yellow shirt. I'm playing as Greg Piss.
With also the Casio watch in the bottom left-hand corner. The red nails is me as Periwinkle O'Rourke.
And above Adam is myself, and I'm playing Leo Shadow, and I'm wearing an Apple Watch.
Yeah. So you can track us by our watches.
And so basically it was the setting up, and I always like the idea, how do you determine who goes first? And so we figured, I think in the rule book, it's like whoever's on the most real world crimes
this roll is the an dice. Elaborate sting operation. The world's most elaborate sting operation.
So me and Adam both drew, so we rolled again.
Yeah, so you both got a four, so I think. So you rolled again to see, what the
so I'm the first player, and so the way it starts is basically you pick, there's two taverns, and you pick which one you would like to start at, facing any kind of direction you would like.
Yeah, you will probably pick the direction you're facing based on where you want to move to complete the quests. I do believe at the beginning of this game, this just happens with every game, there's a lot of thinking where you're looking at the board, trying to figure out where's the most optimal way to be facing to start the game.
I like to try and wait for, you'll see here I placed my piece last because I'm waiting for you two so I can kind of gauge a little bit where, of you have put your things and I immediately place.
And you can see now that we've placed ourselves, we're each looking through our movement deck so that we can plan our day. You can see Adam even touching his face. Oh, so I've placed my first movement there. I think I'm doing a move and interact. And now I'm looking over at Adam for some reason. What's he doing? Trying to figure out what Adam's up to.
So we in the rule book, it's this kind of thing of like, well, place your movement cards face down. And so that, A, that no one else can see what you're doing.
Yeah.
But also, you can play open hand if you don't care.
Yeah, which I have eternally done since the beginning of this of development. Yeah.
Or if you forget sometimes what you're doing.
Yes.
I guess throughout the game, you'll probably see all of us, I guess, well, me and Adam, who have placed our face down to be like, what was I doing again?
Yeah, yeah.
What am I doing again? I know at least twice. I can remember two times at least.
Yeah.
What's this? I check what I have.
And just so a reminder of the way the sort of like gameplay works is that we will each do our morning action sort of like concurrently. So I think Zamet as first player, you'll do your morning action, then I'll do my morning action, then Adam, and then we'll move on to the next sort of part of the day and then until we've done all four of our
morning,
movements.
Afternoon, evening, and night. Yeah.
I'm looking at it now, watching it. I've only planned my, it's very funny to watch the gameplay that we just did. I'm like, I've planned my morning action and I just can't figure, oh no,
he's,
I changed
he's moved it.
It.
He's moved it. He
I moved
one.
It. I got rid of that one completely.
Dropped
the card. Had to pick it up.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. So I think, a lot of time, people tend to do that. I think we talked about this in one of the developmental blogs. Development blogs. Mm. I keep saying developmental, partly because I'm dealing with a baby.
Developmental. Yeah.
Where are they at? Mm. So it's usually like...
you see that? Sorry, I just got to point out I did a knuckle crack and then obviously it's not picked up in the audio, but I've made sure everyone knew I did a knuckle crack.
initially played, but then decided not to. It was the move forward and interact, which is what I have done, I think. Well, move forward and interact.
There you go.
I remember, do you guys remember when boarded locations couldn't be next to each other?
Yes.
Do you remember that rule?
Yeah.
Well, again, a lot of this kind of stuff was limiting.
Yeah.
And,
we started playing, haven't
we? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And so again, I don't know. I kind of like the idea of like, let it be random.
Yeah.
You know, of course, like again, if you want like alternate rules, we can kind of do that.
Mm.
So I think one of these quest right now, it's about dropping off certain things to Little O, which was my first move, which was to pick up Little O, and then I moved forward again to drop it off.
Yes, yes.
And that was in between one of my moves. I think my first move was to move forward, interact.
Yeah, and then you completed the quest pretty much straight away. Yeah. So I handed you over your the quest card, drew a new one, and moved you up one victory point. The quest I'm currently trying to go for is to deliver, I believe it's a pig stuffed chicken, or the Alba head and a weapon.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt you, Jack.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't finished talking.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Just saying. I'm trying to explain the whole movement section here because I landed on Kevin's stable as well.
It
was this sort of thing of like, so the first move was to pick up the NPC, and the next one was a dash, which meant I did one damage and then I kept going. And we have this thing with like free actions, so you can just, you know, discard something as a free action, which was for me, discarding Little O to the item, which meant victory point. And then I move forward, realizing I'm on Kevin's table, which is great because you can play another card from your hand, but then realizing I'm like on a situation where, the gnome paratroopers will destroy me.
I see.
Realizing I hadn't quite planned for this, and so I just went, well, I want to get out of there. And so I went to backstab, and then I missed.
Okay.
Anyway. So as you were saying, you're trying to get the...
The pig stuff chicken and a weapon. I just moved on to the trading post, the location in the middle of the board, which when you're in the trading post, you can take, if you interact with the location...
The pink-backed items.
Yeah, pink-backed items from the trading post board.
On the left-hand side.
On the left there, and I picked up a weapon. So I currently have a weapon and the pig stuff chicken, so I'm hopefully close to completing this quest.
I'm pretty confident, because I think the only combat, Periwinkle is kind of a combat-focused character, and the only combat quest I believe that we drew at first was defeating the surgeon, who is currently in the taverns, so at either tavern location you can fight him. You can start, I could have obviously started attacking him from the outset, but he would not have been there long enough for me to really, and he would have minced
him. Very true.
I'm trying to tool up, but I've noticed, I think at this point I'm really noticing Periwinkle's power is that large items count. He treats all items as small. And I'm really noticing now that the board is very inconveniently, all of the large items are perfectly positioned where I can't get to them
easily. That's very frustrating. I in my head, and this is that part of, you know, I think I've spoken in other vlogs about how there's an element of poker to it. There's an element of paying attention to what everyone else is doing. And I just sort of whiffed that because I was under the impression that Adam was going for the same quest that I was.
Yes,
and
I remember
you can deliver either the pig stuffed chicken or the Alba head, which was in the tavern. Now, I don't have space for the Alba head, but I can pick it up and discard it, making it not, gettable for for Adam, but then Adam told me he wasn't going for that quest, so I got wasted that turn.
I don't understand why you would. You know, I love going barbarian mode. Yeah.
I had in my head you were going there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I used the location ability there, which was like switching out an NPC for a. Like a friendly NPC is the one that's there. I think initially I was like, oh yeah, give me buttons and sweat rock.
Mm.
But then I realized that that required a thing. I think you should have discard something to pick
them up. Yeah.
So some of the NPCs will have discard an item or an NPC or something like that to pick them up, which you can do as a free action.
Yeah.
Right. So usually it's an interact to pick up an NPC, but for some of them there it's a free action. And I realized, oh, I don't have anything. So
that's going to be worthless to you.
Yeah.
For
move
sure.
the other person. Because like a lot of the quests we have, we've sort of got several different ways you can complete them. So it's either like, you know, Gragia or the buttons work or the big, you know, the big ogs.
And then it's kind of reversible as well. I mean, obviously you can't pick up a location, but if a quest is like drop off these items at these NPCs, you don't have to drop the item off. You can drop the NPC off at the item.
Which is what I did in the first quest with Little Lo, because it was dropping off like say some accessories or whatever to him or Tolton. But yes, you can kind of do the reverse.
We've moved on to round two.
This is day two.
Yeah.
And you would have noticed that we kind of shifted the, so with the item deck, with the tavern and trading post board there. So the item and NPC that's in position four goes to the bottom of the deck, and then we draw until there is four cards for each slot. So that's pretty much what happens at the end of every day
yeah.
to sort of resolve that.
And now you can see we're once again in that planning phase of looking at what the quests
are
and being like, what the hell am I
going
to do?
Man, I really kitted up quick.
Yeah, you really did. I got nothing because I completed that the quests that I was doing just before. Now I'm trying to figure out where to go next.
And I've become first player as well. Seeing the different, I guess, strategies for each character. And so what we have here is, so Greg Pierce, you'll also notice that Greg Pierce and Periwinkle both have only the three item slots.
Mm.
Partly is because their passive ability or their ability is that so Greg Pierce has all NPCs count as small, and Periwinkle is all weapons. Oh, sorry, all items are small.
Mm.
So with items in them, they'll have like backpack slots on them, and large ones take up
two backpack slots. Yeah.
So most people can only carry, say, two large items or two people, whereas Perry can do three large items and Piss can do three NPCs.
Well, all NPCs, I believe, other than the goblins, are considered to be like large. Yes. So they take up two backpack slots. Yeah.
I always loved buttons and sweat rock count as large still because there's two of them.
Yeah, I think that's very cute. Yeah. That's very cute.
Here, I think that first card that I played, I know exactly what that card is. It's a reverse because I've realized if I go back, I have the dagger, which discarding the dagger deals zero damage and it gives you plus one to hit, basically. Mm. But if I turn around and go back the way I came, I can get the quiet knife in the tavern, which gives you the exact same deal, except discarding it does one damage instead of zero damage.
That's slightly more useful.
And so I've got the blank spell book, which is a really very useful, maybe overpowered, I don't know, item, which is for that turn, as a free action, you can make it anything that is visible on the board, either NPC or an item. And you can use this to defeat... use it as to complete a quest or to help you defeat, say, a NPC. Mm. I was trying, I think at this point, it was like either Orc Smack, which was to go down to one of the big ogs and smack them with one of their arms, or the Orc Chieftain's arm.
Which is a weapon that you can acquire.
And so I was planning on doing that, but then I believe Greg Pierce beats me to that quest.
Well, I just did a real sneaky guy move. So I was on a location that had the grappling hook. And the way the grappling hook works is that you can use it to pick up any face-up item on the board. And a face-up item on the board in the trading post, I believe, was the loot. And the loot you can use if you discard to pick up any NPC on the board.
Yeah.
So I picked up the grappling hook, instantly discarded it to pick up the loot, instantly discarded it to pick up an NPC.
I did that earlier. To complete the quest. We were doing doing a game earlier this week. I did the exact same thing.
It's a very fun move if you can wrangle it.
Discard the item to get the item that you actually want that gives you the thing that you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. There's a moment here coming up, actually. It's literally right about to happen. Mm. I'm thinking about it right now.
That's funny.
That's so funny. So my original plan... Yeah. I've got all my equipment. I'm going to go kill the surgeon who's really tough and he's in the tavern. And now it's occurred to me, I can get an easier quest for fewer points that is right next to me instead. So me checking the card just before was me being like, instead of turning right, I could turn left.
Interesting.
And I could do this. And then you two have this whole interaction where you're stealing them off each other, and I swoop in at the last minute.
I think that's me stealing Papa Shawfoot. Yeah. Again, getting tricked, being like, I've taken Papa Shawfoot from you, and damn it, you're like, I don't want him. I'm like,
It's happening.
Yeah, because it was for a quest, and it was kind of like, oh, I guess I could move him there. Sure, why not? Mm. But then you pick him up, and I'm like, well, whatever. I don't care. I'm moving on.
No big deal.
And in one turn, in one action, I very swiftly,
So you move forward, you attack, and so the way we have it is something is in someone's backpack, they are also considered in the same location as the player character.
So because I had Papa Shawfoot in my backpack, Adam moved on to the location I was on, and that meant he could attack Papa Shawfoot, killing him in my backpack and removing him from my...
Both of you thought, well, I don't know if you, Zammit, thought you were being really sneaky and clever, but at least Jackson thought he was being really sneaky and really clever, and it didn't matter at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think my strategy would have been to attack him and pretend the spell book was, say, the Quiet Knife, was the loot, or was the whatever it was that we needed it. Mm. But I was like, oh, okay.
Moving
on.
Something else out, I guess.
So Leo has the ability once per day to just pick up an item as a free action. The idea there being that he's got his familiar, the magpie, and magpies, if you're not from Australia, I don't know if they are.
Magpies in the UK, I think.
Yeah.
Different magpie, dude.
Yeah, different kind of bird.
100% different kind of bird.
But I think they all like shiny things.
There's a bird, whatever.
A bird. All birds are the same.
So the idea there being that, well, you know, birds like shiny things.
Yeah.
So the idea there being like magpie just swooping and grabbing something.
Yeah.
I think initially we had it like small items only, but then we're like, why are we limiting
ourselves?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's just have some fun with this. Mm. So that ability, which is a really good ability for Leo to complete a lot of quests. Like you'll see both myself as Leo and Jackson as Piss. Completing a lot more quests than Perry does because we're focusing on this is just like the RNG of it all.
Yeah.
So at the moment there are 50 quests
in the quest deck, so
it's randomly dealt, and some of them are delivery quests, some of them are like skill checks, some of them are fighting somebody, and Piss is very good at delivering people.
Yeah, a lot of Piss's movements include an interact.
Mm.
And an interact means that you can either interact with the location, the NPC, or the item.
Mm.
And that's just very useful, especially considering that for Piss, all NPCs are small. I can, if I land somewhere using one of those interacts, I can just grab a NPC.
So this kind of works with the action economy, I guess. Because everyone has four turns in the day to do something. Often the cards will do, you move somewhere and do a thing, and then you'll have your free action, your special ability to do something. Mm. So Leo's is to, say, pick up an item, which is basically a free interact on an item, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, I guess, Piss does not have that ability.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Of, like, a once per day can do something, which is why he has more interacts on his, on his cards. Mm. And same with Periwinkle, while he doesn't necessarily have...
He has a lot of combats.
The same once per day can do something, his abilities are more punching.
Absolutely, and this comes down as well, I guess it's kind of what you're saying, but, Greg Piss has no move and attacks, not one. And when all the quests, and this is kind of the inverse of what I think Adam's experiencing in the beginning of this game, but when all of the quests are a defeat quest, that's tricky because it means you have to sacrifice one of your movements to attack rather than moving and attacking. And that a couple of times got me hurt.
I think this is the round where I completely whiffed it.
Mm.
So the idea here was what I was going to have I'm at the location where Shane the Rat is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the boots of Speeder. And Shane the Rat has the ability where you have to pass a skill check to pick up an item. So I was using my magpie ability to grab those boots of speed. And the boots of speed are a large item, but you once per day you can then use the boots of speed to play another movement card
or from have your, another from action, your hand, yeah.
basically, to do an action. Either I just whiffed it or I whiffed it or I'm about to whiff it.
I think we're redoing the... Oh, yes. You're soon to whiff it.
So what happened there was I assumed I was going to succeed.
Yes.
And I whiffed it. So then I had to really, I guess, consider my strategy.
Yeah, pivot kind of on the spot. Currently, so you can see on the...
Repopulation.
Yeah, we're doing the repopulation phase. So you can see on the day tracker that we have the third and the
top sixth. Top right corner.
Thank you. Those sort of wedges are colored. That means on those days... you repopulate the board, so any missing NPCs or items or any locations, I should say, that don't have an NPC or an item on them, you repopulate. You add an NPC and an item. And this is always, you know, one of those, like, game-changing moments where you're like, oh, the location I'm on, you know, what I can do. And
the board's kind of refreshed a little bit.
It's a bit of a crapshoot. So
or it can be very bad.
Yes. Like the restocking. So you do the item and the like the item board or the item and NPC board first, and then you do the restocking. It's very, I guess, when you're playing characters maybe who haven't cleared the board first. And that usually happens in, like, a two-player game. You're like, okay, to repopulate. Okay, not much needs to...
Yeah, not much has changed. Repopulate. Yeah.
But if you're playing, say, like, three players and then four or five, which could be a lot of, like, you know, then the board gets cleared.
Yes, exactly. So you really need that repopulate.
You really do.
And it was one of those things that wasn't in the game for a good while, too.
Yeah.
Until we were like, well, the board gets really empty. And then there are location abilities that allow you to look through the deck and get an NPC or to... get a face-up NPC, which means you could get somebody from the tavern, theoretically, but it just meant that for ages you were, unless you were going to go to those locations.
Yeah, I remember those games, Deadlands, especially bigger games, before we had the repopulate, the board would be empty towards the end.
And yeah, you're right, we talked about this last episode.
Yeah, so this, the idea of repopulating was from the Deadlands.
Thank you, Deadlands Battle for Gully Gulch, or whatever the game was called.
Deadlands Gulch?
Yeah.
So here you can see me being a genius and planning. So that card to the side there, I'm like, yeah. So when I pick up those boots of speed, I can then go there and then quickly do another right turn. So the way we have it is, so you can pick up four items, right? And so the way we have this is if you exceed that, and your how many items you can carry is correlated to your health. So the weaker you are, the less you can hold.
Yeah, so you
so
can
the way
see...
we have this is... once you exceed that, it's at the end of the turn, kind of discard as many cards as you can so then you can fit them in your backpack. So what I was trying to do in a clever genius move was to pick up the boots of speed, which would then mean I have way too many items in my bag, use them immediately to then...
you don't have to replace an item.
And I would be at the tavern where I wanted to be, and it would have been beautiful and perfect and everyone would have loved me. Instead, I whiff it on the roll, and then you have to be like,
what now?
How can I salvage this?
I forget sometimes what it was like before we had six is always a success, one is always a failure. I remember stocking myself up and being like, I'm
unkillable.
How did you find that? Because I was very bored. As soon as I got all the, like, you know, the amount of, like, I can't miss. And so I was just like, I would roll in, attack, and I would just... I knew I was going to defeat somebody, and I had the weapons I had was more than their health, so I knew I was going to win.
Yeah, I don't think I do numbers as well as you, so I don't know. I never felt too overpowered, but I mean, obviously, you know, you win and you're like perfectly balanced game.
I suppose.
Here it is.
You rolled a one, right?
Probably.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I did.
Yep, that looks like a one to me.
Yep, that's a shame.
There it is. Well, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Because then I had the gold nugget, which was I could discard that to, I think it's pass a skill check.
Right? Mm. Yeah.
But then I'm like, but I need that for the quest.
Yeah, oh, that's always a killer.
Like, that was the thing that I was then using to then get to the... And then I had the blank spell book, which was like, well, I guess I could, you know, pass the quest anyway, and all that kind of stuff. But I was using both of these for the quest.
Yeah. What's to be done? And you can see you kind of figuring it out.
I like how stocked up you are on items.
Yeah, it's very funny to see the difference. I mean, you've obviously, Adam, you've got two items that will help you deflect damage and stuff like that because you're going for those combat quests. I have nothing, but I did just pick up the Orc Chieftain's right arm. Now I'm
Competing for the same quest.
We're competing
right
for the same quest. And I'm on the sewer down at the bottom.
Yeah. So I was also going for this quest because the whole, if my plan had worked, I would have tried to attack the turn before you.
Yeah, I see. And this is the quest we said before. Smack. What was it?
Orc smack.
Yeah. So we're trying to hit the big og with the orc cheeks right arm.
Yeah. I remember as well having to buy because I knew you were sitting on it, and I knew originally I was like, oh, I think Jackson's just going to take it just to mess
just
with
spite
me.
You, yeah.
Yeah, just to spite me. But you were actually in the end going for the same quest.
Yeah.
But I remember having to plan my cards out, so I was either going to, and there I am, I go for the other arm.
Oh, I see. That's interesting.
Because I thought at first,
I thought at first that
you were just going to be doing it to spite me. If I'd known it was a race, I probably wouldn't have
for
competed.
Sure. Yeah.
But I did have that backup plan of going for the other arm.
Because I'm really playing against type for Great Piss. So to pass a skill check, you need to roll a dice and get the number on your skill or your fist or higher. And Greg Pierce's is... he's not designed for combat. Yeah. So I was really... Yeah. I was risking it here. Because also, if I fail, I'll take the damage from the big og. Because he's hostile. And as you can see, I'm not... I've already taken the damage because I had to move... Because, like I said before, I have no attack. So I have to move on to the location. And then on my next turn, make the attack, which I'm doing
right now. Yeah, up until this moment where you roll this dice, I was like, there's still a chance. And then I think that's a six. Yeah.
I rolled a six. So I just was very lucky.
You did it. Yeah.
So two things there. It's like, so again, I think Leo... completed a quest there, once again doing the dash and this discarding in between those movements. And before that with Greg Piss, you have that interact and move. And so you interacted onto the sewer and then you went to the other sewer and then you were to move forward.
Yeah.
But because it's at the edge of the board, so the idea is you need to do as much as you humanly can.
Yeah.
And of course, if something is taking you off the board, well, you can't. So it's like you kind of hit this.
You can't attack if there's no one there.
Yeah. You've got to do as much of the movement as physically possible, which you can use strategically, like I did just then, of being like, well, it's a dash, but if I'm facing the edge of the board, there's nowhere to go. So I do all of the actions on my card on that location.
So with the sewers, so there's three sewers on the board. And they're the ones with the green location, the green border around them.
Yeah,
And so these are interconnected. And so these basically acts like the public transport of Jaren's Outpost. and you have an interact with them, like interact on that location, and you can then go to any sewer location.
Yeah,
you can.
Facing any direction.
Yeah. Including the sewer that you are currently on.
Yeah.
So a strategy that we will often use and often see is you go to that location, interact with it, and then you orientate yourself the way you want to go.
Yeah.
And speaking of orientating yourself, so how I managed to at least try and salvage something when I whiffed the boots of speed was I had I think it was reverse, and then for the next turn was the ability to to take stock or to recuperate.
Yeah.
And so you can then face any direction, heal for 1 point, and just face any direction.
Yeah.
So if something happens, this is a way of at least being like, well, at least the next turns that I have aren't going to be wasted.
Yes,
I remember
absolutely.
The recuperate action, face any direction, and heal one. They used to be two separate actions.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot of debate, I think, and disagreement with us in regards to adding that. We're onto the fourth turn now, but even like something like, oh, it's not powerful enough, or no, you should have to play the cards you're dealt, but... Yeah, and even like we were like, maybe you can just do it between turns, but no, in the end we decided that you can forego, because there's many things, you can forego the movement on your card and you can attack, or you can forego the movement on your card and you can interact, and then we were like, you know what, let's add it. If you want, if you've found yourself in a situation where your movement's no longer viable, you need to sort of pivot, you can
I think I do it
forego
as well.
The movement on your card and turn to the spot to face any direction and heal.
To. When we first put it forward was that you could turn 90 degrees only.
Yes.
I was about to say as well, it was a 90 degree turn.
Was like, because again, you're trying to limit yourself and you really want to be able to those pre-programmed movements, and you don't want to be able to you don't, I guess it's the way of punishing yourself for like, I whiffed it. But then you're like, is that a lot of fun?
Yeah,
this is the way because like I'm going for the same quest that someone else is going for it, and they've, you know, say for example, they do it on turn one.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And they're like, before you.
You're like, well, what am I meant to do with the rest of my movement? Yeah.
All this whole day is now wasted. Mm. This whole day I can't do shit. At least I can then, if I orientate myself this way, hey, the next three, the three movements will make a level of sense and off I go.
I think that came from the same philosophy as a lot of the items and stuff. Mm. I think, yeah, there was this real pivot. It was probably like a very, very like a sort of turning point for us where it's like we need the game to, if you'd find yourself in that situation where the whole turn is wasted, there needs to be enough on the board that you can do and enough quests that you can do and enough movements and stuff like that that you can still, well, you're never wasting your turn.
Launching off that, actually, I think what I'm about to start doing is kind of, because I think the only defeat quest right now is the Surgeon, who is not on the board. To get him out, I was like, I would have to, I'm kind of assuming that the first turn is going to be me doing nothing but getting him and then taking damage from him. So I've decided at this point, I believe, to start doing some self-directed quests. And some of the NPCs, when you defeat them, they're worth prestige. So you can get points out of just kind of fighting, going around fighting enemies, certain enemies. And I am right now debating or contemplating self-directed quests of fighting people in the tavern for points.
That's very funny.
This kind of came from the, like, say, you got Piss and Leo, and to an extent, Clara Norman, who are very good at, like, completing quests. And especially with Knock Knock, because Knock Knock was very much this little powerhouse, very, very violent. And it was
The Knock Knock.
We have discussed the Knock Knock in prior episodes.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, let's have this idea of, well, if you can't maybe get across the board, because Knock Knock and Clara, they don't have a dash. Like, that's by design.
Yeah.
And so you're always going to, you know, come second, getting to a place
in a race.
In comparatively.
A dash, it should be said, is a movement card that allows you to move two spaces rather than one.
And so by design, Knock Knock and Clara don't have that. And so it was like, okay, cool. Well, they are. We should do something to have, if you're like, well, what else can I do? And this also came from that, I think we've also talked about this before, that last turn or like setting up the last day to be like, well, what else can I do? I can't complete a quest or like, you know, I'm nowhere near enough to do something like that, but I can try and like fight somebody.
Yeah.
And so we have, you know, both friendly and hostile NPCs that are worth different levels of prestige depending what they do. And some of them are, you know, fighting them is a challenge. And at the moment, I think there are three NPCs in the tavern that are worth prestige.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, up until I want to say, like, we got this prototype printed.
Yeah, yeah, very recent change.
I think even the rulebook of the prototype. It's this whole idea that NPCs that are worth prestige in the tavern aren't worth prestige.
Yeah.
And the concept being like, well, you know, A, we didn't want someone to sit there camping, and two, it's kind of like, the story behind that. You're like, oh, yeah, no one's impressed with Little Bar Fight.
Yeah, right?
But then, because the concept there being that the tavern, everyone there is friendly, in quotation marks, in that if you go to fight, like if you land on that square, the hostiles aren't going to fight you.
Yeah.
So the NPCs, the way this works, there's hostile and friendly. You can kind of, we've tried to denote that as just visually.
Yeah, so the hostile enemies tend to have a kind of a darker a shade to the sort of background of them.
It also says it on the card.
Yeah. There's a few ways. It's like it's a darker shade around the background, like on the border.
Bit of blood.
There's a bit of blood on the scrolls. They're on the background or behind the characters, they're more red tinged, whereas the friendlies are green.
I think it's clear in this video. You can see in the tavern, the two on the left are red and the two on the right are green.
Yes,
as well as the where the NPC is located.
Yeah.
So the NPC on the left, hostile, NPC is on the right, friendly. And the difference there being that when you pick up a friendly NPC, that's great.
They're always in no consequences.
NPCs, the friendly NPC, love to come on an adventure. You pick up a hostile NPC, well, you take the damage that they do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're skittish, I guess.
And this is something we talked about this in,
they don't want to come with.
We talked about this in maybe the first or second one of these vlogs, where that was like a real desire path thing where when we were doing it at PAX, people were like, can I pick up this hostile NPC? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, what happens? And we're like, nothing. And they were like, oh, you just had to make a skill check. And they're like, oh. And you're like, oh, so you want to take...
Yeah.
Fair enough. You know?
Initially, also the other difference being if you land at location and a hostile NPC is there, you will cop the damage. But a friendly is there, you're not going to cop the damage.
Yeah.
And they'll only cop the damage if you...
End your turn on that location.
So you attack.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You will do you'll do the damage. And initially, when you were picking up, say, a hostile NPC, we would be like, roll a skill check.
Mm.
And through the whole development of this whole, like, game, we were trying to go, right, let's try and, you know, make it a bit more streamlined. Let's make it a bit more, you know, snappy, as it were.
Yeah.
And so having that one extra roll, that kind of thing, would, you know, it's not going to slow the game down a lot, but it will slow the game down somewhat.
Absolutely.
So we were like... Yeah, let's get rid of that as the concept of, like, you know, when you're picking up an NPC, you don't have to roll for a skill check. It's fine.
Mm.
But then you were right, as you said, Jack.
People want, like, some kind of consequence to picking up a hostile NPC.
People yearn for consequences.
Yeah. So initially we had it as, like, take half the damage rounded up.
Yeah.
But then we're more math.
You just picked up for Greg Piss a very powerful item, I think. Where you treat all enemies or everyone as friendly.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Which is very funny. I think, you know, I remember when we were very initially looking for, like, we want to turn Giant's Outpost into a board game. And I think it was Alex. He's like, well, what would you like? And I was like, I don't know. I just think you should be able to get a very fancy hat. And that's the trickery hat. It's Romaine from that initial, remark.
There is a fancy hat, actually, which is currently the Saberfort. And then there's a trickery hat.
Yeah. But it's funny that the hats remain. I got the trickery hat because I know I'm about to go into a hostile territory and I don't want to take any damage.
Really? So, did you take it on purpose? Was that your attempt to fool me? Because I think when you first picked it up, you had a big air of like,
it was like a kind of incidental. I was like, well, it's here, but I probably will use it.
Were going there anyway. Coincidentally on the way.
I'm like, you know what? This actually will be pretty useful for me.
Interesting.
So there I just completed a quest of smacking, I think it was Laura Fillmore with the roses, because it's like we had one, which is like a very early quest, which was basically like taking Laura Fillmore out for dinner.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, pick them up or take them, like, you know, deliver them roses or flowers or take them to somewhere else, right? Because we used to have like those multi-stage
quests. I was about to say, wasn't that quest, the early version of it was like have Laura Fillmore chocolates and roses in your inventory and go to these locations?
You take them out for a big, like,
town,
that's right.
And so that was that, like, whittling it down in terms of trying to get them done quickly. And
yeah,
so you wanted that churning them out. And then it was like, all right, well, you know, what about we also include Gragia?
Mm.
And so we're like, oh, Gragia. And then I think in some of them, like, an Urki one.
Yeah, you want to take Urki on a date? Go ahead.
And then the flip side of that, to be like, let's do single life for me, which was, you know, either eat the chocolates in front of them or hit them with the roses.
Yeah.
And I think when that quest popped up, I was like, wait, okay, where are the chocolates? Where are the roses? It's in my backpack.
I have the roses.
Neat. Which is always a fun thing to happen. Like, how serendipitous.
It's funny, we still have Defeat the Surgeon on the board.
Yeah.
We have also just...
Spoiler alert, we'll have that right till the end of the game.
We're looking for Leo, which is a quest where you need to go to certain locations and make a skill check. We also have Barfly, which is very similar. And we have, what's the last one? Meeting of the Other Minds, which is, I think, the one I'm trying to do right now, which is dropping a big og off at a goblin or vice versa. Or dropping a big og off at a big og or a goblin off at a goblin.
Yeah. So also with quests, once you completed it, it automatically gets just another one replaces it, which is also, I think, a really nice way of doing it because it gets, for say, replaced in the middle of the day.
Yeah. So you can pivot, like, on a dime. Yeah.
What else can I do? Which is, I think I've done that a couple times.
Yeah. And I think this comes back to that idea of, like, you know, you're not going to, because there's so many quests, it's like, well, you know, say you complete the quest I was going to complete, but a new one comes out that's, like, more combat focused. I can be like, well, I can't go collect that NPC, but on the same location, there's a weapon. So maybe instead of picking up an NPC, I pick up a weapon and I try and find the big og or the surgeon or the fork guard or whoever it is that needs to be killed for the quest.
And so if you, like, so Defeat the Surgeon is a really, really good quest to complete. Because if you end up doing it,
you'll get
4 points.
Yeah. And that's because, and this was, you know, a little design thing. So we had, prior to giving NPCs prestige just in and of themselves for defeating them, we had quests that required you to defeat them to get the prestige.
Yeah.
But then when it was like, well, the surgeon was worth four prestige, like
three. Yeah, so three prestige to defeat them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But initially, I think it was like the quest kill the surgeon was worth three prestige, and then we were like, I don't think we can have the quest worth three prestige and killing the surgeon itself because that's six prestige that you're doing. So that became a one prestige for the actual completing of the quest, and then the extra. And you know, we tried to balance it out that way
because it's kind of already a quest.
Yeah, killing exactly. Killing
the surgeon is. He has so many hit points. He does so much damage.
Mm.
It's a big undertaking on its own.
Yeah.
You're kind of hoping that there's a quest related to defeating him. But I mean, yeah, defeating 3 points is quite a bit.
3 points is it's a game changer. It would put you, I think, currently. I mean, you can probably figure this out. But Adam is the dark green. I'm the piss yellow, and Dammit's the blue.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, like 3 points would put you
in the prestige tracker.
In the prestige tracker
for those of you keeping score.
Yeah. Three points would put you in the lead, I think. Yeah,
yeah, well, because it's a quest, it'd be 4 points.
Yeah, exactly.
Comfortable lead.
Yeah, I mean, basically either in the lead or equal first.
I believe right now, though, I'm just starting fights. You can see, I just won one. Yeah. I'm starting fights in the tavern because so many of those people were worth prestige.
Yeah, and this is that kind of thing where we were talking about before. Where it's like they, you know, in the tavern, they weren't worth prestige.
Mm. Yeah.
And this idea of trying to be like, okay, in the tavern, it's like, you know, this sacred, specialty place where they, you know, it's like all NPCs are friendly, and then it was like, okay, so but they're friendly for combat reasons, but we'll make them hostile for picking up reasons. So even if it's a friendly there to pick them up, you're gonna maybe they have to roll a skill check or take damage,
they're
not worth prestige because you know, but then you're like, well, why?
Yeah, exactly.
You still gotta gear yourself up,
it's
and
still
also
the same thing. It's
all
just,
it is that you know, sure, it's maybe boring for you that you're sitting to the, you're in that one location just wailing away. I think it was mostly because of Knock Knock. When someone was
I think you're right.
Well, I'm going to choose Knock Knock and just, you know, bash people
in
the
tavern. But now, I mean, you know, you're taking the damage as well.
I was kind of having trouble, I mean, part of it is the items that were just by the, you know, sheer luck of the game. The items available to me were not great for combat, but I, you know, I did what I could. I made do with the arm and a bunch of defensive. Like, I barely, right up until the end of this game, I basically took no damage.
So here's this little great bit of dash and damage from me, where I do one damage to the ghost, who's also worth prestige. And
I know exactly what you're about to say.
Yeah. You've got this, like, orc arm, which, like, depending what you roll, like, will add some extra damage to it.
Yeah.
And so you're, like, contemplating, like, oh, who do I hit? If I hit this, like, this guy and, like, in a certain way and I get this kind of, like, number,
I can
I'm going to
just
do so
barely
much.
Get it all,
You can just barely defeat them completely.
Yeah,
you
I could
have it all. You could have
it all. If I roll right, I could defeat both of them. I roll right, and then you
play Rock of Whoops.
Oh, yes.
And now I've automatically missed.
The Rock of Whoops being an item that allows you to, make another player fail. There's two. There's the Rock of Whoops and the Rock of Idiot.
Yeah.
And they allow you to make another player fail a combat or a
skill check.
Before, I just want to point out that I, using the Hat of Trickery, I just, because it's relevant to what we were saying, prior to this, I went and picked up the Big Og, and because the Hat of Trickery makes him friendly, I didn't have to take the damage that he would normally incur, which would have been pretty damaging for me, I think.
Yeah, and this is when I'm coming out on ahead.
Yeah, Dammit's pulling ahead.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah.
So, like, it's pretty like kind
uncommon.
Of...
Yeah, pretty common occurrence.
Uncommon.
Oh.
I was saying uncommon as a joke, obviously.
Yes.
Well, this is a kind of like, so you see the kind of the grouping of the prestige points here. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, this is like, you know, about two more days to go. So we've got the rest of this day, one more round for this particular day. And it's kind of like, it's, you know, we're still kind of clumping together, but we know we're going to kind of, you know, get out ahead.
Yeah.
And then you kind of see, I do get out of here with some lucky quests that just kind of like pop up. But then it's like, me and you, Jack, we're sort of like neck and neck.
Absolutely.
And just because of like pure the unfortunate RNG for a combat character where there is no combat quest, got drawn.
Lucky. I was doing pretty well at the beginning. I had the luck of the cards. While there wasn't any good items, that's early, just the coincidence of you guys putting Papa Shorefoot in the right place for me. I pulled out to an early lead. I just lost it.
And you know, there's also like, you know, if you'd gone in this direction and it would have cost you time, there are plenty of locations on the, because right now, sorry, the weapons that are of use to you are in the item deck. So they're just not available.
They're on the board. They're on the boards. The big long swords are up the top. Oh, if you see, that's where I needed to go. I mean, obviously, hindsight's 20/20.
But you could have, but it would have been, you would have had to spend time gearing up to then make it worth your while.
I was trying to maximize my. Because there were like some easy with the arm. It's kind of your damage is based a little bit on what you've rolled.
Yeah,
but I could because it gives you just a little bit of a buff normally anyway. I was like, that's kind of
with these
defensive items. That's kind of just enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Because like I know that
it's the decision that you got to make.
Yeah.
Even though like the long sword is like all the way to the other side of the board, it's hard to get to.
Mm.
Whereas like you could, and again, this is all to do with, RNG.
Mm.
The sewers are there, and like there is a sewer that takes you right up to the top. So that's like a really good way of getting there. And there are another teleport locations, like the Quiet Knife Jewelers.
Mm.
That will take you directly to the trading post. It's kind of like a one-way, one-way trip to the trading post. So it's a good way to get to the middle
Get to the middle of the board so you can sort of start to strategize again. Mm. But also, I mean, this is by design, there's the pressure of if I spend this round going and getting items in that time, Jackson and Zambit theoretically could complete a couple of quests.
It's
like maybe instead, if I'm lucky, I could defeat. So that's the pressure of the competition, and especially if I'm
literally
the same quest
as we speak. I'm literally weighing that up. I'm thinking to myself because I know that the two big weapons, the ones that really work for me, are up the top of the board. Mm. They're inconveniently positioned, and I'll take some damage getting them. So it's just going to take a lot longer. Right now, I'm debating how much time I have left. The surgeon has come back onto the board, and right now I'm focused on if I can get the surgeon, I will actually pull out into the lead.
Mm,
it's a big, difficult quest, but if I get it, then I could potentially win. So I'm like, how much time do I have to beat the surgeon?
If you get a couple good lucky rolls, which I guess spoilers, you didn't. But
I did not.
Good lucky rolls
and some unlucky rolls.
Because that's like 4 points, which brings you up to like currently where me and Jack are.
Yeah.
And then if you looked where the surgeon is, there is, I think it's one of the ghosts. And then next to that is a big og, which.
All
worth points. Yep. And if you gear yourself up properly, you can kind of steamroll straight through.
Absolutely.
And they just require those really lucky rolls.
Right now, I believe my... So I'm debating. I've noticed, actually. I think I've noticed as well by the time I'm playing cards that the other orc arm is down. Yeah, I'm about to go for the other orc arm.
Yeah.
The other orc arm is down at one of the sewers, and it's so much easier to get to.
Yeah, fair.
I'm finishing up one little point here, and then I'm going to go get that arm.
I think my strategy currently is it called Rat Catcher?
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm currently trying to go for Rat Catcher, which is either defeat a hostile fort guard?
Hostile fort guard.
Yeah, or Shane the Gnome. And I'm going for Shane the Gnome. And I, obviously, Greg Piss, again, not a combat character, but I'm like, well, maybe I can use a couple of sneaky things to use some daggers that are spread across the board. Daggers being items that you can discard to just deal a base damage. You don't have to make the roll, which would be difficult for me. But as we'll see soon, Zamit snakes it out of my grasp.
Yeah,
because what I was trying to do in a whole turn,
Zamit
has geared himself up to do in
one
move.
So I it's this kind of thing where this last two rounds, because I think we're almost about to finish.
Yeah, coming to the end.
The sixth day, because it was another repopulate. And so it's like, okay, well, first off, it was like, okay, who's coming first? And I was like, okay, I think I become the first player. And I was like, oh, fantastic. And so there was a couple quests to do that were actually worth some pretty decent points. One was Barfly, which was you have to go to both taverns and interact and pass a skill check.
Yeah.
Leo's pretty decent at that. And then there was defeat the
hostile. Discarded some NPCs give you powers and you just discarded one to not take damage.
No, that's right.
So yeah, Urki you can discard to avoid getting hit once. And so I was like, okay, cool. I can then do this by like, all right, I know because there's the sewers that are there, and I'm like, sweet, if I can do the sewers and kind of finagle it in a way where I can get places, I can then do a bunch of things. And I know that I'm like, okay, because I'm like, I start at the Quiet Knife Jewelers. I can then, I think it's like first turn, what I'm going to do is going to use my card to interact to get to the trading post, which means I can then use my ability to grab the loot, which was either going to be a face-up NPC, which I'm like, I know that's going to help me with a quest.
Or
it's going to do, like, I think it's like 3 damage to an NPC, which will also help me with if I have to defeat somebody, which is, I think, what you were also aiming for.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you were going for Shane, and he cops a bit of damage, and I was going for one of the fort guards who is on the city docks, who I know is going to take a decent amount of damage.
Absolutely. And I've picked up Buttons and Sweat Rock again. I don't know if there's a quest specifically for them currently, but I just was like, it's going to come in handy. I think Band Practice was the other one I was going to go for, which
is quest. I remember it.
A pretty, it's like 3 points because it's quite difficult to do.
Right. In the next little bit, the two of you are going to start really pulling ahead.
Because you grabbed the Buttons and Sweat Rock, and I grabbed the loot.
Yes,
and then you were like, well, the loot is on the same location, so I'm just going to drop Buttons and Sweat Rock.
Yeah,
grab
me the loot.
Grab me those points. Because I was going to do the reverse. And then I think Ratcatcher comes up, and then it was like, oh, how fortuitous.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, how lucky. I'm right here.
You clarify. Wait a second, they're on the same.
Look at how
I like the while the two of you are doing this, I'm completely ready for the last round.
So you're now me neck and neck, and then the rat exterminator. This is what happens of like, okay, well, Shane the Gnome's over there, and I'm not trying to scour the place for like
a hostile fort guard.
Mm. There's one which is worth, which I think is modeled after you, Adam.
Yeah,
in Little O's.
Oh, you guess?
I just think.
Oh, you guess someone made a very mean caricature of your good friend Adam.
And then I guess maybe to add insult to injury, because it was up to me to decide who gets like health and points. I gave you 1 health.
You did. It's okay. I do like, 2 damage at least.
Me and Ralph double teaming months and months apart.
There's like 1 or 2 other creatures that do 1 damage, so I don't do the least.
You do 2 damage, and if you do get defeated, you like spitefully do 2 damage.
Yeah, that's
true. That feels like a third insult. If I'm being 100%
like
honest.
Rat you.
Adam, I'd describe you as spiteful.
You're a spiteful weak man.
Speaking of me being spiteful, very quickly compare the left side of the board where I am keeping everything neat to Jackson's pile of quests.
Yeah.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Is this also where I keep stealing the dice from
that was
you?
The whole game.
Yes. Oh,
that's the whole game.
I kept thinking
you're
going to
do it right near the end as well.
And so, this was, again, very, very fortuitous. I think because the Blink Blade is... the last quest, the Blink Blade appears. It's another great little item. Large, but you can discard it, and you can just kind of go everywhere.
Teleport to any location. Yeah.
So it's like, I use that to teleport to the one of the taverns, and then I use that turn to try and pass a skill check, and then the next turn I then move around and then use a loot that I didn't want. Did I not get to use the last time?
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking today, in this game, I was thinking about how funny it is that the Blink Blade gives you, is it +1 to hit or +1 damage?
+1 damage.
I've never checked.
Yeah. You're not using it for that.
I've never used the Blink Blade for damage.
But it could come in handy. Yeah. But also the Blink Blade is also...
It is a weapon.
You can still use it to do damage.
I do, some of this stuff you kind of do feel like, again, it comes down to desire pathing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is literally a teleport like spell that has a weapon associated to it, and it's big. But then to be like, well, maybe if it's like, hey, plus X if you damage, maybe it's worth your enticing to keep.
Very true.
But then again, at the same time, to be like, no, don't.
No, well,
don't
but then I think
this.
The way it would work is if you pick up the Blink Blade to just have, because it might come in handy later.
Yeah.
And then you're doing an attack kind of independently. You're like, oh, and because of the Blink Blade. Yeah. You know. I obviously, again, Greg Piss is not much of a fighting character. He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yes.
But I. So the location that has Shane the Gnome on it has the ability where if you pass a skill check, which Greg Piss is quite good at, you can take a small item that's face up on the board. Mm. And I also have the grappling hook, which similarly lets you take a face up item from the board. Mm. Now, this is probably my brain getting rotten, but I was like, the loot does 3 damage, but that's actually in Zammit's inventory, not on the board. But nevertheless, clearly my plan here is to land on Shane the Gnome, and instead of attacking him outright, use the location ability to get a dagger, which I can then discard to do damage, and then use my item, which I can then discard to get another dagger to do more damage to Shane the Gnome. Unfortunately, before I even get... See, I'm about to go here.
Yeah.
Before I even manage to do... I do, like, 2 damage to him, and then Zammit just kills a hostile fort guard.
Because...
and
yeah,
I have
because,
to think about what the hell I'm going to do now, yeah.
Because that quest gives you so many options for who you need to defeat. Mm. Obviously, from the name of the quest, it kind of feels like, thematically, you should be killing the were-rat.
Yeah, yeah.
But... Because of that, you weren't watching as literally, figuratively and literally behind your back.
Yeah, exactly.
Joel Zammit swoops in, kills a different NPC and gets the quest you're after.
Yep. Yeah, I make another skill check. I'm like, oh, I'll use this dagger here. Aha, discarded, Adam. Thank you very much. Another damage to Shane the Gnome.
It was very funny.
I take a bit of damage because I've ended my turn on his location and he does 1 damage.
It was very funny watching this and just having to, like,
you're not saying
be
anything.
Be quiet because you're being so smug.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And you're now, like, watch this, you stupid
you guys,
idiots.
You know my petard? Like, uh-huh, I'm about to be hoisted by it.
And I like what you do here after that is because the Boots of Speed, the ones that I was trying to pick up before, but Shane and Gnome, his little ability on the cards has this, you pass a skill check to be able to pick up the item that he's on. And you pass it, then you use the Boots of Speed to then kind of pivot so you can try and get 1 last quest.
Yes.
Mm. And because what I like about it is you have the left or right to, and there you go. There I do it.
You snake it away right onto me.
The turn left or right and you may interact with the location. And because we have for the taverns, the interact there really is like, well, fight or.
Yeah, it's fight or interact
kind of thing. It's left or right or use location abilities. And on the taverns, it's, well, fight or interact.
Yeah.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Start a bar fight or grab someone to go somewhere.
Mm.
And so you're like, all right, sweet, let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what? I can still make it,
Yeah.
And so I see me and Jack have clearly like now
pulled ahead
towards the end there. Mm.
But I can still, at the very least, I can give I mean, if I kill the surgeon, I pull into at least 2nd place.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if nobody else scored any points, there's only 2 more turns, I'm pretty sure.
Not a lot of time left.
If nobody else scored any points and you got 4 extra points, you'd be equal first with Zammit.
That is not how it... I took a big risk and it did not pay off.
No.
Because you defeat the surgeon and like if the numbers had been in your favor.
It's my next roll, I think. I whiff that one and that is what causes... From that point onwards, I was always going to fail.
Yeah. Mm. You can see this because it's that last turn. There's a lot of like strategizing and thinking and...
Mm. And there was like just through pure luck. I think one of the quests, like the last quest we got, was like pass a skill check at like say the Saberford or the
and off the table it goes.
or the other Temple of Penia, and it's kind of like, well, I know I can, if I get that last bit, I can reorientate myself so that I'm sweet. Go forward, interact with the Saberford, and then I can pass
this
a skill check.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought this was very interesting. So Jackson, like I said, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm. You picked up the Boots of Speed here because that lets you play an extra card.
Yeah.
And you use that opportunity to completely reorder what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because now you're facing a different direction. You're in a different place. Well, and so all your other cards will be doing a different thing.
Yeah,
ultimately.
So the quest that I'm now going for is, I think, hit Big Og with Gragia, Buttons and Sweat Rock, or somebody else in your backpack. Mm. And Gragia is behind me. So this is completely pivoting on a dime.
Yeah.
So I use the Boots of Speed to use another card that lets me turn around. And then on my next turn...
I thought that was pretty cool.
I'm like, I'm going to pick up Gragia. And then on my next turn, because, and like Zammit was saying before, you turn and interact with the location, here I'm getting educated about how the boots of speed work. But you turn it on the location, you use the location ability, which happens to be fight or interact. So
and
I'm like,
well, that's the role that. That's the role.
There's Adam.
You can see you putting your hand.
You can see. I've now realized that I haven't actually done the math yet, but I'm pretty confident I can't kill the surgeon now.
Yep.
And that's it. Goodbye.
Goodbye, one of the arms.
It was an interesting. What I really like about the two arms, and maybe this is a dumb thing, but I really like. So they deal extra damage based on what you've rolled. One of them deals extra damage on three different results. The other one does extra damage on two different results.
Yeah.
And the one that does extra damage on two different results does more damage when you get it.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that was the decision I was weighing up in my head.
Smart.
I was like, it's more potential damage, but less guaranteed damage.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, the reason why is because, well, because it's like on an even or an odd, but like on an odd number, well, that includes one. And then you miss.
A one always has to miss. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, you only really get it on
I understand the logic and I like it.
Which is why it does a bit more damage.
Yeah. Like, hey. And now I've hit, I'm going to do enough damage to just barely, but not actually kill him.
Yeah. I'm very unfortunate.
Yeah, and wee-woo, I am dying. I'm excited, right in just a moment, Jackson's about to take a die that's not meant for him. He's about to take the blue one off the board. I want everyone to watch.
Where's the red die? Where's my red die's on the quest?
You see right in front of you?
Yeah. No.
Right in your eye line?
I'm about to go for the blue one. You watch.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going to say, hey, can you put it on my side of the board? And I'm going to be like, what the hell?
A classic, a favorite Jackson maneuver.
That's right. And then, I'm like, a little victory lap for me.
You've pulled massively ahead.
Yeah, heaps.
To kind of get punched by a ghost.
There it is.
So I'm turning in, using a dice that's not mine to attack.
Roll it and right next to your roll.
I love that they're next to each other.
Beautiful.
And I hit, and I get an extra two victory points. I'm pretty sure.
When I'm looking for dice, three, you don't know where they are.
Yeah.
And so
that was a close game for the two of you.
Very close.
If I'd gotten the surgeon, it would have been a close game for all three of us.
Because you would have been, if you got the surgeon, like 2 points behind Jack, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so this idea that, like, you kind of wanted this, this is like, for so long we were doing this, like, whoever's playing whoever, and it's just like, either one person was massively out of hand, or one person was like, not at all. For example, this, where it's like, oh, you lost by so much, right? But it's like, yes, but there was if you think about, Piss and Leo, very very close, very close together.
Yeah.
And
you
Perry,
died just
Perry, yeah, there, yeah. There you go.
That's
you're
me
dead.
Yeah.
Periwinkle. It's like
I've absolutely dominated as Periwinkle.
Oh, I know.
Well, yeah, for sure.
There was no good options.
Well, that's a game over. Jill's out at one.
Yeah. Big thumbs up. Hell yeah.
Big thumbs up from the three of us.
But yeah, with Perry, you're like, oh yeah, wow, he's lost. By like, look how far down the board he is. But like, you bumped that 4 points. You're not that far.
No, not at all.
And that was kind of like, really the what we were aiming for to be like, it could be anyone's game at any point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, I pulled out to an early lead. I was winning, I was winning, and then I was competitive really late in.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It's literally the luck of the draw in the RNG and what you decide to focus on. And I like that. I feel like it's the kind of game where if you lose, you're like, that's on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's the dice. But also, like, yeah, again, theoretically, you could have gone to, say, Greg Piss's warehouse, which is a location that lets you look through the item deck, and you could have, or you could have gone to, I believe it is, I forget what location it is, but it lets you take a face-up item, and you could have, kind of...
Go to the Surefoot School to steal from, the two of us
and
ruin our days.
Yeah, so it really just depends on what you want to spend your time doing and how you want to strategize, kind of.
Yeah, so there's, a few locations I think we didn't really, utilize or we avoided. Again, no real reason apart from,
it just wasn't optimal at the time, yeah.
And one of those is the Surefoot School, which lets you, if you pass a skill check, steal from other players, which can be really good and dickish.
It's a great way to be.
I don't think there's a single location, other than the ones where if you end your turn there, you take damage.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single location I haven't at one point seen someone churn through that location
over
and over again trying to do something.
Yeah. So, that was a game of Jaren's Outpost, a three-player game.
I hope that was educational for you at home.
To sort of to go over some of the more, I guess, bits and pieces that are on the board that you might be able to see. We've got, a bunch of different heal locations. And, again, we're trying to have this idea of, like, hey, let's make this visually, like, you know, at a glance what you can see. And so anything that kind of like you, where you can heal, you've got some bandages there.
Yeah.
Anything where you use, like, again, those like damaged locations like Rhodes Keep or the docks where it's like blood splatters and that. Again, you've got the two taverns. There's also like two stone buildings and two wooden houses, I think they're called.
They currently just sort of do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I kind of find that very sometimes a little bit relieving. Yeah. Right? To not have to think about a location. Yeah. That's kind of nice.
They're there for two reasons. One, it's so, well, yes, you don't have to think about anything. Yeah. So they are there almost as a bit of a rest. So you don't have to like think and look and be like,
well, what am I going to do? How am I going to use this?
Is there something that's going to happen there or whatever? And of course, if for some time down the line, again, if the Kickstarter does really well, if we, you know, when we have other locations that we want to include, well, a very easy thing to do is to switch out the stone buildings or the wooden buildings or wooden structures.
Like yes.
And future-proofing.
So, future-proofing. Exactly.
So that's a sort of
typical game. Yeah.
I'm thinking other things that we kind of missed. We had those little wax seals, which have like unused.
So that was for your, because your ability is a once-a-day ability. So whenever you use that, you flip the wax seal from closed to broken to indicate that you've used your once-a-day ability. But both mine and Adam's were passive, so we didn't have wax seals.
Yeah.
It's always very nice at the end of a game to be able to see how many quests you completed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's no indication of, I mean, you know, Periwinkle isn't getting a quest for...
I got more quests out of... fighting than I did. I got more points out of fighting than I did quests.
Mm. But it's very cool to see the different piles and to get like an idea of. So that's a typical game. Obviously, we didn't go through every individual mechanic, and this was very much just us playing and then talking you through what we did. I'm sure at some point we will upload a more cohesive
how to play the game.
This is not a how to play, but this is an example of
more of a let's play than a how to play.
A typical example of gameplay for the Jaren's Outpost board game. Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
I enjoyed playing it.
Sure did. And on that note, I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I prefer when Jackson introduces and on that note,
I've been Jackson Bailey, and joining me has been Joel Zammit and Adam Carnevale. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day.